listeners, and welcome to Garden Planet. You're with Karen and Selena.
Afternoon, gardeners.
And have we got a treat for you today, especially if you like flowers. Why is that, Selena?
Well, it's the time for picking flowers to dry them so you have lovely flowers all year round.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about the process of drying flowers, what kind of flowers look really good dried today. And of course, we've got the plant of the week, which is chamomile this week. I'm not so sure if that's such a great drying flower. I'll talk about that. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
But it's still a wonderful plant nonetheless, and it's a beautiful flower when it's like not dry, fresh. So we're going to talk about that. But just before we get into it, I just wanted to have a little chat about what's been going on at Selena and my community garden.
Yes.
Woodside community. We have a bit of a drama that's taken place, but not a good drama. It's a sad drama.
I'm just crying about it.
Yeah, I certainly was distraught. We have discovered that someone, we shouldn't speculate. We have informed the police, and if any listeners know anything about goings on at Woodside Garden, Community Garden, which is near, in between Ranui, Henderson and Massey.
Yeah.
On Woodside Road.
Bottom of Dunbrook Road for those Westies out there, you know, the area.
Yeah, so we went to water the garden as we do on a daily basis and tend to it. And then we started noticing that a good number of our plants were dying. And not because of our terrible gardening practices. We suspect our water supply has been tainted.
Yes, well, what there is down at the garden, we have a tank which we fill up with water from the creek. But beside this tank, we have a empty bathtub which we will dip our watering cans in to make it easier for us to water.
Mm.
So what we suspect has happened is, that bathtub water has been contaminated.
Mm. So we don't have any vegetable. Well, we've got a handful that seem to avoid poisoning. But the rest have just turned brown and died. Not an ideal way of drying plants, FYI, since we're on that topic today. So if anyone, give us your thoughts, send us an email. And if you do have any information, please do let us know. It's really upsetting. I don't know if it was an accidental thing. Maybe someone just thought, I'll chuck some turpentine in the water or whatever, and didn't think anything of it. I don't know.
Well, one of our gardeners suspects it may be Roundup because of the way the plants died about 4 days after, he thinks,
The water. I was actually away at this point, oblivious to all this down south. But, yeah, it sounds terrible. But and it didn't have a smell or anything to it or anything noticeably. Yeah. So that's our sad drama for the month. Not the best start to the year. We were hoping for a better start, but
No fresh tomatoes, no cucumbers, no beans.
No, it's all gone. It's all just gone. Like that. Terrible. So let's crack on anyway, on to other matters, that being drying flowers. So how do you do this exactly? What's your methodology?
Okay, so now's a good time of year to harvest your flowers because everything is in bloom. But you can do this any time of year that the flowers are blooming.
Yeah, and the other thing I notice is that if you, pay attention to gardens and plants and stuff, every plant has its own flowering cycle. Mm-hmm. So you'll get some flowering at the beginning in spring, then you get some flowering at the beginning of summer and so on. So they do all come out, which is wonderful because then you end up with, but there are certainly times when you get more of a bloom overall than others. But pick them whenever they're out.
A certain time of day that you pick them when they're best for drying will be just maybe mid-morning, just after the dew's kind of dried off.
Yeah.
And when they're just coming into bloom or when you see them at their best, not past it, but at the when they're most fragrant. And
I don't exactly know why it is that we have to pick them post-morning dew.
If you're going to dry them, then you don't want any moisture.
Does it just make it
affecting
quicker?
Them. Yeah, it just makes it quicker.
Yeah.
And before they get too much sun on them, because you want to preserve the colour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was told when the morning dew has evaporated.
Yep.
But before you do that, find a dark, dry area with good circulation.
Yes.
So don't, get your area and all your things organised and then go cutting. Don't be like me and go, I'm going to dry flowers and go,
when am I going to put them?
What?
I'm the same. I'm so sorry.
Totally spontaneous. So that's always, I always find, I'm lucky enough to have a garage. Not all Aucklanders have garages, especially with these newer developments, eh?
Mm.
But I find my garage under the house is great because it's dark, it's eerie, so whenever I open up the garage door or the window at the end, I've got a bit of flow.
Yeah, good idea.
Plenty of space.
You got rafters to hang the flowers from?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
What about cupboards? Would you recommend? Some people say you can dry them in cupboards, but I always
Hot water cupboard is a good place to dry them.
Rather than a sort of dark, damp cupboard under the sink or something, you'd be better off. Okay, hot water cupboard?
Yep.
So there you go.
I just want to add to that. If you have, a glass house, one of those small plastic ones, you can convert it to a drying cupboard if you just cover it with black plastic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
the reason why it has to be dark is that's so as a means of preserving that colour, like you were saying, you want to keep the colour as much as you can.
Yeah.
So that's why dark. I was recommended to use dental floss as what to tie it up with.
Oh, okay.
What do you use?
Rubber bands for bunches of flowers.
Yeah.
And string.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
Dental floss that is not, it's not flavoured, but I don't think that should really matter anyway. Just anything, really. I mean, I've used old shoelaces.
Ribbons.
So upcycle.
Up to you.
So to get that all organised, and then you, post-morning dew, you cut the stems.
Yep.
Would it be recommended to cut them at the base or halfway up, or does it?
I tend to cut them at the base so they can grow again, rather than snip them off right at the base of the flower.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of plant growth.
Yeah. Okay.
But you can cut them down to where they meet with the next bud that's going to come out. If you prefer to, if you have a bushy plant, it depends on the plant.
So there's no strict rule. Yeah, it's just okay. Cut them cleanly.
If you like your flowers to have long stems, and cut as much of the stem as you want.
Yeah, and then leave them hanging for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'd give that. Yeah, as long as they take to dry and then and they're ready.
Keep checking on them.
Yeah. They can last for a year or even more when they're dried. So a good way to have flowers all year round in your house.
And what are some ways you could use dried flowers?
Dried flowers. For their fragrance, if you have fragrant ones like lavender, and stick them in your airing cupboard or make potpourri out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or those scented sachets.
Yeah.
Floral arrangements, of course. Wreaths.
Yeah. Also, delicious in cakes, desserts and teas.
Yeah, that's more into the herbs. We'll get onto that a bit later.
But you can actually add, surprisingly, quite a lot of flowers. But be careful, because not all.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Maybe that's a whole nother episode.
I wonder if you could eat a rose petal.
I think you can.
Yeah. You can use them as gifts of sprigs of dried flowers. They look lovely atop a package in the middle of a bowl or something like that. That's a really cute thing you can do with them.
Cards.
Right. Yes, that was what I was going to mention.
Yep.
And have you made paper before?
Yes. So, recycled paper and you just press it in the paper.
Yeah, and you can make like nice homemade cards out of them. Or if you're into scrapbooking. I've always wanted to get into scrapbooking. It just looks so nice.
Yeah.
But then I go to the store and I see everything and then I just like, whoa, it's overwhelming. But yeah, scrapbooking, lovely. You know, if you have a really nice bloom and you think, oh, I want to remember that.
Yeah.
Then you can put it in, or just keep it.
Keep it
in your memory box.
I've seen dried flowers used in... They preserved them with some polyurethane on wood, and they have actually preserved them forever. But they're dried flowers. It's just quite amazing.
That's cool.
So the crafty people out there do that. Well, I'm not so crafty, but
I've been told tweezers and a small paintbrush and PVA glue are the key.
Okay.
You're going to go down that track and get all crafty. You need a pair of tweezers, a small paintbrush, and some good glue.
Okay.
There you go.
Why don't we just share what some of the suitable flowers for drying are, and then there are some other methods aside from hanging them upside down that I'd like to get into. So
I would like to hear that. Okay. I'm interested to hear what some of your picks would be.
Okay, so in terms of flowers, I have a list here, so I'll just let rip. So we have marigolds, hollyhock, roses, especially pink ones, straw flowers, which dry really beautifully, coxcomb, which is an annual that looks like a chicken's comb on the head.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool.
I would like to think so.
Zinnias.
Can't think what else.
Yarrow. Stentis.
Yarrow dries beautifully.
Blue hydrangea.
Yeah.
Dahlias. Echinacea. Poppies. Lavender. Snapdragon. And sea holly.
Mm-hmm.
And
Echinacea.
Echinacea, yep. That's our herb of... Or another words, purple cone flower.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, you know, with that type of flower, it grows, but if you were to hang it upside down, wouldn't all the petals fall, like droop downwards?
I'll get onto that with different methods of drying them. So we have your hanging method where you just tie them in bunches and hang them from your rafters, and that works well for flowers. They have long stems and little flowers,
yeah.
Okay, and another method is to snip the flower head. You just want the flowers without the stems.
Yeah.
And you put them in a mix of, and there's several options. You can dry them in silica gel.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like a grain or a powder of silica gel.
Mm-hmm.
And you cover the flower with that mix in a sort of container.
Yeah.
And then the silica gel acts as a desiccant to draw the moisture out of the plant.
You get, like, silica gel packets and everything.
Yeah. You might find them in your instant noodles
Would you use them in the packet, or would you take them out of the packet and then...
Well, you can buy a whole lot of silica gel in bigger packets.
Oh, okay.
And use that. And what they put in silica gel is... It comes in blue. I think it turns pink when it's absorbed all the moisture, so when your flowers are ready. So you'd snip off your flowers, you'd pour some silica gel in a container, and then you'd gently put your flowers in, pour more silica gel over the top.
Okay.
So, and then
so
leave
really
it for
smother
a few.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when... the silica gel has turned the different changed the colour, then you can pour it off gently and the flowers will be dried.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's one method.
Yeah.
Silica gel is available in craft shops. I think you can get it, like maybe Spotlight.
Okay.
But other people have used A mixture of borax and white cornmeal. Similar method.
Yeah.
So you'd use 10 parts cornmeal to 3 parts borax.
Okay. Did you get your pencils, everyone? Yeah. Say that again.
White cornmeal, 10 to 3 parts borax.
10 to 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the borax is basically so the ants or the weevils don't eat the cornmeal. So it's just a deterrent.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Borax can, because I'm thinking about using that on my carpets to get rid of the fleas.
Yes.
But you have to do a spot test first because it apparently some carpets will fade.
Okay.
With borax, threads. So I'm just wondering if that, I should try that. See if maybe it would affect the flowers. That's interesting. We'll look into that.
Okay, so you got either silica gel or cornmeal and borax, but a third option for plants, especially if you want to dry the foliage, is glycerin. Now, glycerin is sort of a liquidy substance. You'd put it in the bottom of a vase and you just stick the flowers in that vase. And what the glycerin does is it, instead of the water being pulled up, glycerin gets pulled up to the plants and it dries. And then your foliage and your flowers are preserved. And so they will stay dry.
So it's a preserving agent.
Yeah. But they'll be kind of bendy, but they'll be dry. So
that's crazy.
It's interesting, isn't it? So I haven't tried that, but I'd love to try it.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's a method that you can use.
Yeah.
So those are 3 methods. And
would you recommend maybe those methods where you're using chemicals? It's better suited to those bigger flowers that take a bit of time, because I find, you know, the bigger the flower, the harder it is to get an even drying time, and then you'll end up with some of it going brown and some of it's getting eaten by ants and, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that solves that problem. Well, thank you, Selena. That's really useful information.
One other thing I'd like to add. So you put them in a container for the borax and silica gel. You put them in a vase for glycerin, but you can also use drying racks if you just want to air dry them. So you could get a cake or a baking tray and just cover it with a sheet of paper and just dry them on the trays. One more method.
Yeah.
Microwave? Yes. Not for huge amounts of flowers, but just maybe you want a couple.
And not for too long a time.
Okay, so what you do is you get the flowers that you want to dry.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 sheets of paper towels. And some say to put a little cup of water in with the flowers. And then put 2 sheets of paper towels on top. And then you bang it in your microwave, depends on your microwave.
Yeah.
And, on a low heat, cook them for 30 seconds and check.
Okay.
And then maybe put in another burst for 30 seconds if they still haven't quite done. Depends on how big your flowers are.
Yeah.
So that's sort of a way to do it with a microwave. Yeah. And apparently that is quite a good method.
Do you have a microwave?
Yes, I do have a microwave, but I haven't tried that yet. So
can you go on?
I'm going to experiment.
Because at least then you don't have to go out and buy like silicon and all that stuff.
That's
true. If you've got a microwave and it works, like the method works, give it a shot.
And if you don't have a microwave, like I don't think you have.
No.
So you've got an oven.
Yeah.
Now this is, be very careful when drying things in the oven.
I'm bad enough with food.
You have to put the oven on very, very low heat. Like, you don't want it any more than, like, 35 degrees Celsius. And keep the oven door open and then just dry them in a tray.
Okay.
In the oven.
In a low heat.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think it
sounds to me like if you're into it, just a bit of playing around.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing with gardening listeners. A lot of it is just playing around with different ideas. Just give it a go. If you really want to do it, you'll try any means, right,
exactly,
of achieving that. I mean, at the end of the day, what have you got to lose? Mm-hmm. And what have you got to gain? Well, you know, a beautiful centrepiece to a table full of, like, one of the things I was going to suggest was people can put, like, the bigger flowers into a clear glass bowl.
Yes.
Like hydrangeas or something, like big ones.
Yeah.
And then you have that as your centrepiece. I mean, how beautiful.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that with the glycerin if I get enough hydrangeas this year.
And then you'll get the foliage as well.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, I think that's about all I've got. Have you got more? I shouldn't ask that question.
Oh, I always have more.
I know.
We were going to talk a little bit about herbs as well, just to tie it in.
Oh, yep, yep.
So sort of similar methods with herbs.
Mm.
Hang them upside down in bunches. Where's my notes on herbs? So a good time to harvest them now because the herbs are all...
And when you're saying herbs, you're not just talking about, like, herbs with flowers. You're talking about...
The leaves.
Yeah. Herbs with flowers and herbs without. Okay. Yeah.
So why do we dry...
Same concept.
The herbs, it's for the more intense flavour that you get with the dried herbs.
And also so you've got something to eat over the winter.
Exactly. And it makes your house smell lovely. And,
Same principle.
With herbs,
would you want to put them on silicon?
Oh, well, you wouldn't have to do it.
You wouldn't need to.
You wouldn't need to.
Smaller.
Because you're not preserving them for looks.
Fun fact, silicon and eating it. I was making a health smoothie once and I didn't realise that one of the silicon packets out of something I'd put in my blender had fallen in.
Be careful.
And it went, whizzed around happily, and I was consuming it, like, later, going, what the heck is... crunch, crunch, crunch. And then I found the packet in there later, of course, after, you know, going through half of it. So I rang up the poison helpline.
Oh, no.
I think we might have to do this if the poison they find in our garden is bad. Because it'd be like, oh, I haven't had anything from the garden. And, it is actually. It's not going to kill you. That's just a little FYI there. Just dry you out a bit from the inside.
And I don't think it's recommended to dry your herbs with the glycerin either.
I don't know. Can you eat glycerin? Maybe. I know you can put it on your lips.
If you're drying herbs because you want to dry also the seeds, make sure you have paper bags tied around them.
Paper bags are a big one for seeds,
And in other words, if you don't want...
Or envelopes.
To get them all dusty, they recommend just cut little flaps in them, paper bags, if you're drying, hanging them up. Just for the circulation.
Oh,
they
don't
get mouldy and... Or you can use a screen and lay them flat on a screen or a little rack. So that's good for little herbs like thyme. So maybe...
Those tiny...
Use some muslin cloth or something.
Yeah, some seeds would even go through, like, screens.
Yeah.
If it was a fly screen. Yeah, so, cloth might be.
And to preserve them, make sure you have glass jars, ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And put labels on them so you know what they are.
I know. That's what happened to me. You know that big pot I had out the back with all those wild flowers? I had no idea. I just had this bag full of seeds. And at the time, I was like, I know what's in that. And then a year later, I was like, what's in that?
Oh.
So label. But it was fun because then I just chucked them in the soil and thought, I'll see what comes up.
So thanks
for watering those for me, Selena, by the way. They look awesome.
And with your herbs in your glass jars, put them in the cupboard away from direct light. Like, don't put them in the sunny part of the kitchen.
Yeah. Like you would, like anything, like in your pantry, you want to try and keep it away from the bright sun. Cool. Well,
let's
I think it's plan of the week time.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. It's been about an hour of chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told.
Quote, so plan of the week is chamomile. Now, Karen, what did you have on chamomile?
I was hoping that you'd lead us into that because I can never say the Latin names, but it is a daisy-like plant of the family
Asteraceae.
Thank you very much. I think you took Latin at school, didn't you?
No.
You're just brainy.
There are two types of chamomile, main types that we know of, Roman and German.
Those two types are thought to have medicinal properties. Roman and chamomile, okay. So it's those two.
Yeah.
However, I've got something to say about that.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, well, I wasn't going to be the first thing I was going to mention about chamomile, but I will, since okay. You said go ahead. Okay, so, yeah, they're often used in infusions, although there is actually no evidence that chamomile has any effect on health or diseases. I got this from Wikipedia, so it's right.
Oh.
but it's probably right.
But then,
what have you discovered?
Thousands of years since ancient Egyptians, it's been in use for medicinal purposes.
Yeah, and
so
maybe
the
it
Wikipedia
does.
Know.
Yeah, maybe it exactly. How long have we had the internet, and how long have we had
exactly.
ancient Egyptians?
And they didn't have all those like drugs that we have now.
Yeah.
Competing with.
But then now the other thing is though, Selena, we've got the research. We've got the ability to look at things, you know, on a research-based way.
Okay.
So that what they've found is that the chamomile has potential to cause adverse interactions with numerous herbal products and prescription drugs. So it's often the interactions.
Oh, I see.
Maybe the herb alone, sweet,
yeah.
Lovely. Peaceful herbs supposed to be good to calm, and if you've got insomnia and things like that.
Yeah.
So, I find it a really nice tea, but I don't like it too strong. Often I find things like too overwhelming
okay.
in taste. To me, that's a sign that my body's going, whoa.
So don't
pull
have
it
too
back.
Much.
Maybe just follow your gut and just go, I'll just keep it really mild.
But you're using the whole herb, you're not like extracting little bits out of it, are you?
Well, no, we're not isolating like polymers or anything like that, like what you'd get in the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah.
Epigenin, a phytochemical in chamomile, may interact with anticoagulant agents. So a lot of those people that are taking rat poison for their thick blood shouldn't take or aspirin. Shouldn't take. So if you're wanting an anticoagulant, you know, drug, don't. If you're on it, don't. It's recommended not to have too much. Just don't have too much.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe that would be the best. And there's other drugs. These are non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Have found there's other phytochemicals that in the plant that interact with sleep-enhancing herbal products, which is a bit of an
maybe
irony.
They just don't want
and
you
vitamins.
Going to the other side when you're using drugs.
Additionally, it said in Wikipedia, chamomile shouldn't be used by people with past or present cancers of the breast, ovary or uterus. Some pretty big statements here. About the old chamomile, anything else? We've only got a minute.
What chamomile is good for, though?
Yes, tell us what I like it.
It helps relax you. It's good for if you need help sleeping.
And historically they used it in beer. Now all these craft beers that they're making are starting to use chamomile as a flavouring agent, which is super cool too, because I like craft beers.
It smells like apple and good for tummy upsets.
Smells yummy and it's pretty.
Nausea and, as we said, insomnia. The ancient Greeks used to call it the apple on the ground because it just smelled like apples.
Ah.
It makes a great ground cover.
I never thought of it smelling like apples.
So,
great.
Use it in your garden. It's lovely.
Take a picture of your ground cover, Selena, and put it on the website.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, we've run out of time once again.
So get into getting your flowers dried up and your herbs.
And plant some chamomile. That's your instructions for the week. All right, guys.
We'll see. Hear from us next week. Happy gardening, everyone.
Have a great week. See you later.
Bye. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.